past weekend, we resumed operations at our embassy in Bangui. David Brown is serving as the charge d'affaires ad interim, and he's working closely with the transitional government and with international friends and international organizations to advance a peaceful, democratic, inclusive political transition. And one of the first things he did on his arrival in Bangui was to announce an additional $28 million in U.S. humanitarian assistance, which brings the total we've provided this year to $146 million.
Besides the humanitarian assistance, what is the most pressing issue that you'd say the United States would want to see happening in the Central African Republic?
Well, we really want to stop the cycle of violence in the Central African Republic. This country is at a critical juncture, and we think that the United States can help foster a broad-based, inclusive dialogue between Muslims and Christians, and also including people who have been displaced, who have been forced from their homes and either fled within the country or been forced to flee to neighboring countries. I can assure you that the security of the embassy has been in the forefront of the minds of many of my State Department colleagues who are involved in determining whether we could reopen the embassy and the ambassador's residence. I myself traveled a few months ago to the Central African Republic, but was only allowed a day trip in and out because of security concerns. I was there in April, around the time of the anniversary of the Rwandan genocide, because Ban Ki-moon visited right before I got there, and then our ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, visited also a couple days later. And in between our visits, there was a high-level group of religious leaders from the U.S., an interfaith group, who went to talk about the importance of peaceful dialogue. And so while we've been interested and we've wanted to spend time there, it's been very, very difficult to do without an operating embassy.
There's been that UN peacekeeping mission, the MINUSCA. What do you think the UN peacekeeping force will do that has not been done by the African Union forces, or what will it mean in terms of the stability of that region?
Well, we think that it's appropriate that there be a United Nations peacekeeping force that brings the rest of the world and helps bring resources from the rest of the world to mount as robust as possible peacekeeping mission, because so much is needed. We in the U.S. government want to strengthen the peacekeeping there. We want to see UN and AU efforts integrated, and we are providing additional vehicles. We're also doing training for a replacement battalion, and the U.S. has committed up to $100 million for equipment, airlift, and training for African and French peacekeeping troops.
Obviously, for the peace process to be successful, you need everyone on the table to make sure that the government and those who are on the rebel side and those who are killing each other or who were killing each other in terms of the Christians versus the Muslims all come together to speak with one voice. How sure are you that you'll be able, as the United States and the other developing partners that you are working with in the Central African Republic, going to be able to make sure that this process is going to be inclusive?
Well, I think that there are no guarantees. I mean, our chargé is going to be pushing for a fully inclusive, peaceful, democratic process. At the same time, we, as you know and your audience knows, there are many crises around the world happening at the same time. What's important, I think, is that the Central African Republic is not falling off the radar. For people who are leaders in humanitarian response, they have insisted in keeping the Central African Republic on the short list of crises that we must pay attention to. This is why Samantha Power in New York and Kristalina Georgieva at the EU, Valerie Amos at the United Nations have been doing so much to remind people. This is why I myself traveled to Bangui for a day after spending 6 days in Chad, including a lot of conversations with citizens of the Central African Republic who had fled the violence. What I became convinced of, talking to both Christians and Muslims inside in Chad and then in the Central African Republic, was that there's a lot of misery. There's a lot of misery to go around. Everyone suffers when there's so much violence, upheaval, and displacement. And so we would like to see peace return to the Central African Republic.
What was your sense of the situation on the ground when you were speaking to the people that you met, not only the ordinary people, but also the officials from all sides that are involved? What was your sense of, you know, what they would really want in terms of their priorities as a people?
The clear message they gave me, and this was interesting because it was a unanimous message from leaders in the government, from UN agency leaders in Bangui, and also from ordinary citizens, is that they needed security. They needed to ensure that people were kept safe and that families did not have to flee. One minister explained it was a precondition before doing any kind of health projects or development projects was that there had to be public safety. And I really, because I heard that from so many people, I really took it to heart. And that is why we are so supportive of having peacekeepers and really an effort towards law and order, reestablish and rebuild the capacity of the Central African Republic's criminal justice system, hold the people who have fueled violence accountable. You know, we have implemented UN Security Council and U.S. targeted sanctions against five individuals. And so we believe these sanctions send a powerful message that impunity will not be tolerated, and those who threaten the stability of the Central African Republic will face consequences. My role in all of this, of course, is not to direct where the sanctions go or to rebuild the criminal justice system. It's to make sure that innocent civilians survive and will be able to resume their lives when Central African Republic once again returns to stability.
Looking at Africa and what is happening right now, the Ebola crisis that is currently unfolding, and more than 2,500 people have died in West Africa, and people are afraid that this virus could actually spread to other African countries, probably 15 African countries, and maybe the Central African Republic, with the vast forest that it has falling under the Congo Basin and all, could be affected. Are the people there, you know, from talking to them, are they really concerned that this could be another crisis that could be coming their way? What are they doing to make sure that they prevent that from happening?
Well, our president, President Obama, is spending a great portion of his day today calling the attention of the American people to the Ebola crisis. You know, the Centers for Disease Control has a very important role. The U.S. Agency for National Development plays a very important role. And then also he is involving the U.S. military in sending more health professionals to West Africa to do what can be done to stop the spread of the disease. We know how to stop it. It's just a shame that the three countries that are most directly involved are finding that their own health systems are really suffering under the strain of coping with this the spread of this terrible disease. So we're taking it very seriously in the United States. And as you yourself say, this is, you know, it's just such a tragedy that at the time of the Central African Republic having a crisis, at the time that South Sudan, which I visited in July, has violence, there's also in the West then the Ebola crisis as well.
Your portfolio looks at population, refugees, and migration. If you could just sum up for us the crisis that you are looking at within your portfolio on the African continent.
Well, as I mentioned, we're very concerned about the displaced from Sudan and from South Sudan, also Somalis who are in the Horn of Africa. Year in and year out, we're concerned about displacement in the Congo, of course, and the Secretary has appointed a very senior-level special envoy, former Senator Feingold, to work with us on that. And then, of course, the Central African Republic. Two of these crises are what are considered by the United Nations as level 3 crisis, on a par with what's happening in Syria and Iraq, and that is South Sudan and the Central African Republic.
Lastly, can you just give us a breakdown about what the U.S. wants the money that it has given to the Central African Republic in the $28 million, and so far the money that you have donated, what it will be going towards?
Well, the money will do a lot in terms of saving lives and then helping families get back on their feet. So some of that will be medical care programs to prevent and respond to sexual and gender-based violence, distributing seeds and tools to strengthen agriculture so that communities can feed themselves, to help children who have been formerly associated with armed groups, and to make sure that communities benefit from clean water and sanitation. So it's quite a bit, actually, but it's all very much needed.